Yeah, Lord, we declare that is true, that in your presence is where we come alive. It's in your presence that we find out who we really were created to be. It's in your presence that we find healing and identity, purpose, life, forgiveness, grace, mercy, justice. It's in you, in relationship with you, in your presence is where we find everything we long for. You are what we long for, God. And we just say we desire more. We desire more of an awareness of you, more experiences of the things of heaven on this earth that's in your heart. And Lord, may our worship, may our prayers, may our praise, may it be a sweet, sweet, sweet sound today as we sing. That you, Jesus, that you would be lifted up. And what's so great about when we sing, you say that you inhabit the praises of your people, that you actually come and are attracted to be with us. And so, Lord, I thank you that you're here now. And so we ask you, Holy Spirit, that you would teach us something new, that you would allow us to experience and not just know about, but actually experientially know the truth that we're going to look at today, that we would be changed, transformed by you, for you. It's in the powerful name of Jesus. We all said, amen, amen, amen. Go ahead and find a seat. How's everybody doing today? How was that? How was that back there? I heard a little scream there. How's everybody doing today? Yeah, come on. Come on now. Hey, I want to give you a heads up. Today is going to be a little different. So my teaching style approach, we're going to try something new. Does anybody like to try something new? A couple people. All right. Okay. So here's what I want you to do. If you got the feed that Chris and Lissette mentioned earlier, I want you to grab out this little handout that's in there. If you didn't get one, just lean over and say to your neighbor, hey, we're going to get to know each other because I'm going to look at yours. But I want to walk through this today, and I want to continue this series on worship. And I got a lot to say, and I got to speak a lot really fast, and so I'm going to try to ask the Holy Spirit to translate for y'all Southerners that talk slow. No, just joking with you. Just messing with you. I love Jesus. But there's a lot to cover, and so we're talking about worship, and we talked about last week, worship is this. It's our response to God for who he is, first and foremost, his nature, who he is, and then our response for what he has done. And so worship, man, it definitely includes our singing. That's what we do on Sundays. We gather together, but it also includes how we respond to who God is with how we use our money, how we interact with our families, how we work as unto the Lord. That is worship. How we make decisions, how we speak. All of these are expressions of our response to who God is. And our response to who God is rooted in this. He is worthy. Immense value that if anyone who's worthy of my attention, of anyone who's worthy of my love and my affection and my submission, it is the King who's on the throne today. And so our worship is rooted in this. He is worthy. And what I want you to see here is that true worship is rooted in his worth, not your preference or your comfort. I didn't preach well at church growth seminars. Because what we've been told is that it's all about you. And so we got to dumb it down. We got to make it so palatable and people pleasing. It's all about the people. But when I read this word, it's not about the people. Anybody else agree with that? Like worship is not about your preference and I like this or I like that. It's purely about he is worthy of it. This is what worship's about. And so today, I think we're going to stretch a little bit today. I think just like, you know, when you lift and you work out, you tear muscles in order to gain muscle. And so today, for some of us, we're going to be stepping out a little bit. Some of us today are going to be challenged a little bit. But here's what I want us to do at the end of the day is I want us to say yes to God. I want you, more than you hearing me say yes, more than me hearing you hearing me tell you to say yes, I want you personally to lay your yes on the altar today and give it to Jesus. And so what I want to do is I want to look at this concept of praise and worship, and I want to look at some words in the Hebrew that give us some understanding of what this looks like. Because here's a couple reasons why I think we don't worship or why our worship or our praise is hindered. I think three things. Number one, our worship is hindered. Number one, because we don't have a real revelation of how worthy God is. So once again, if I think that God, if I really believe, I might not say this, but if I think God is like really little and his priority in my life is really little, my response to him is going to match that which I have received, right? And so sometimes we don't worship, or that we have a hindered worship, because I really don't see God for who he is, which is worthy. Secondly, I think there's a lack of freedom. And this is prevalent, and in all of our lives, we've had seasons and areas of this that we lack freedom. And number one, we don't worship because we're so concerned about what other people think of us. Prevalent. All of us have that. Sometimes we're like, oh, but if I spend my money like this, or if I make this decision, or if I raise my hands in church, somebody's going to think something on me. And so I choose not to. I hinder my worship because I'm so worried about what other somebody else is going to say. Or sometimes the culture or the atmosphere is restrictive. It's an environment that says, hey, you can go this far. Like some of you were raised in churches where if you clapped, you got a conversation with the pastor. If you raised a hand, like excommunication, get out of here, right? Some of us were raised in church where you're doing cartwheels down front and they're like, keep it going, right? Like both ends of the spectrum, but what I want us to see is that sometimes we have these preconceived notions when I step into an environment like this, and I think, okay, this is what it looks like. And I just want to reiterate, if you don't hear anything else today, I want you to know that Christ Fellowship is a place of freedom. Three rows heard that. Christ Fellowship is a place of freedom. Come on, somebody get excited about that, right? Like that's who we are. And so we want to be a place where people can respond to who God is. And so we don't want to hinder worship. And the third one, and this is what I want to attack today, is I think sometimes our praise and our worship, specifically what we're talking about today, is hindered because we are just ignorant to what that actually looks like. And that's not a bad term, ignorant. That's just, we just don't really know. We don't have a precedent for what does it look like for me to respond to God. And so today, my prayer, my hope is that I could unpack the scriptures today, not to tell you what to do. Man, I hope you never hear that at our church. I'm not telling you. Now, if God tells you something in his word, I'll do that all day long. But this is not Derek telling you. I'm not prescribing to you how you should respond to God, but I am describing some of the deeply biblical ways that people for thousands of years have responded to God in praise and worship, all right? So a little bit different today. I'm going to go fast. And so here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to throw some scriptures on the screen. If you're taking notes and you're like, I like to turn to all the pages, you will not be able to keep up with me today, okay? So just write down the scripture and you can go in your time this week through the fast and your time with the Lord and look those up. But just hang with me and let's see what God does. So the first Hebrew word that I want to look at is zamar. Everybody say zamar. Zamar, if you have your hand out, you can see the definition. It means to make music. To celebrate with song. And so what we just did, we just zamarred. I don't know if that's able to do that, like that conjugation. But we just zamarred. It literally means to pluck a string. That literally is what the word zamar means. And it's all throughout the Psalms. Let me just give you a couple here. This is Psalm 30, verse 4. It says, sing praises to the Lord. This is zamar. O you, his saints, which is, by the way, all of us, his saints, give thanks to his holy name. So zamar, we see this in Psalm 47, verse 6. It says, sing, this is zamar, sing praises to God. Sing praises, zamar, zamar. Sing, zamar, praises to our king. Sing praises, zamar, zamar, zamar. This means to sing a song to the Lord. This is what we do when we gather on Sunday mornings. It's what we do when we're in the car sometimes. Sometimes it's not to the Lord, but that's all right. And zamar. And so have you ever asked the question, why do we sing in church? I mean, it's a little weird if you just showed up here and you're like, why is everybody looking the same direction singing? It could be conceived as a little weird, right? Anybody else agree? A little odd? It is odd unless we understand the heart and the why behind it. So let me just give you a couple reasons if you're taking notes why we sing when we gather together. Number one is because when we sing, it reminds us of who God is and it helps us remember who he is. So when we gather together and we're singing these songs, we are reminding one another as we sing these songs, we're reminding one another, this is who God is. He is faithful. He is just. He is love. He is all these things. He is on the throne. And so we're reminding one another in community who God is, and we're setting our eyes on him and reminded of that. But then it's not just us being reminded, we're also remembering. This is why I love music. Music, the way we're designed, it helps us remember things. Like, I can't remember what I ate for breakfast yesterday, but I can remember a song in the third grade. Anybody else agree with that, right? Like, God wired us to remember with songs, words, and melodies. It's just who we are. And so I need you to know, when we're singing songs, we don't just like throw a dart at a song and say, hey, that sounds like a good song, or hey, they're playing in the top 40, you know, Christian radio, we gotta sing. No, that's not why we pick the song. We pick the songs because we're looking for God's heart and what he's saying in our context here in Christ Fellowship. We're singing songs because the truth in them, Jason and I and our team, we feel like our truth that we want to be singing because it is deeply rooted in the scriptures. And so when we're proclaiming these truths in songs, what we're doing is we're reminding ourselves who God is, his truth, but it's also a way, honestly, for us to remember, because you're probably going to remember relentless love more than you remember the third point of my sermon today. And that's okay. I'm not offended at that. I know, because I won't remember the sermon in 2 weeks. But I'll remember a song that we sing, and so that's one of the reasons we sing. Number two, why we sing is that it fosters unity in our community. Man, worship and music has this way of just bringing together. When you have a group of people and they're singing the same song, there's just this unity that just invades the space. And I believe it's the Holy Spirit who's drawn to unity. He is the Spirit of unity. He comes in a place and resides and rests where we're singing together. And so it brings unity. And one of the ways we see this in the Psalms is that there's a section of Psalms called the Psalms of Ascent. Psalms of Ascent. I captured a few Psalms there. And what happened is, as the Jews came from all over different regions for certain times to worship, to gather, to celebrate, they would come from different backgrounds, different experiences, different families, and they would come together and they would ascend to their place of meeting. And as they sang, they would sing the same song. And as they sing that song, you know what happened? Community, togetherness, nearness, fellowship began to be expressed. And so, man, as we sing, we're doing it because it builds unity. Thirdly is that we sing because you and I are designed to sing. We're designed to make music. And you say, Derek, man, I don't know if you've heard me sing. That can't. And so, listen, I need you to know, I'm not the world's best singer. I'm actually below average, my wife has told me. And I don't play a lot of instruments. I did play sixth grade. I played alto sax, and I was pretty darn good back in the day. I played piano for a while. I could play We Three Kings, like the first. That's all I could play. And so you say, Derek, I got no musical bone in my body, and I can't carry a tune in a bucket. And I would say that's okay, because the fact that you're human, most of us have the ability to make music. And you say, well, how is that? Well, we have these things called vocal chords, like one of these guys up here that knows what they're doing. They play chords. You and I have vocal chords. It may not sound great, but you can make some noise. You see Matt in this bubble, this little back here. We got back here in the drum bubble, I call it. He's making percussion. Listen, you and I, we can clap. Let's all just clap real quick, right? Let's clap real quick, yeah? So look at that. You're making noise. Like, we can stomp our feet. Some of us can whistle really good. Some of us at least can yell out. And so we are actually designed to make noise and to sing. This is who God made us to be, and he wants that from us. And the fourth one is the most important by far. Why do we sing? Why do we sing? Here it is, real simple. God likes singing. So you may be a guy that's like, man, I don't like the singing. Just get me to the word. I get it, man. I love that you love the word of God. But listen, if you love the word of God, you're gonna also love singing, because God loves singing. You say, how do you know God loves singing? Well, you can't read much of the Bible without getting to a song. We read in Zephaniah that God actually sings over his children. Incredible concept that God sings over us. And then the one that was most compelling, as I thought this week, I was thinking about heaven, and I was getting the picture in Revelation 4:5, where we get a picture into the throne room of God. And what I know about heaven is that the desires of God, the rule and reign of God, what he wants is fully known in heaven. Anybody else know that? On earth, not so much. That's why we pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as is in heaven. Because heaven, everything is exactly how God desires it. Earth is becoming more and more like that until he comes to restore all, but it's not there. And so in heaven, everything that's happening is because God desires it. Are we all good with that? We all good? We all awake? So guess what's happening right now in heaven? Singing. And you know what that means? God likes singing. Right now, at the throne of God, they're singing, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. That is God's desire. And so when we sing, We need to recognize we're singing, we're zamaring because he likes it and he's worthy of it. And so we sing. This is why we sing. Now, there's another word that's second on your list here, and that's the word tequila, not to be confused with tequila. Tequila is another type of a song, but it's not the same song. It's a word that means to sing a song or to sing a new song, specifically a spontaneous kind of song. So tequila is really what a lot of the Psalms were. We see this in Psalm 149:1. It says, praise the Lord, sing to the Lord a new song. His praise, that's tequila, in the assembly of the godly. Most of the Psalms were tequilas. Actually, one of the words I think that is for the Psalm is tehillim. That's what they called it in the Hebrew, the tehillim. And that's songs that come from the heart. So when David is writing Psalm 23, or maybe earlier when he was a younger man, he's sitting there out in the pasture. He's not looking on the internet and trying to figure out, you know, who's writing what song. No, he's sitting there and he's talking with the Lord in fellowship. And out of that place of knowing God come these incredible songs out of his heart. That's tequila. Tequila, this comes from a heart. And here's the thing about tequila. It doesn't have to be pretty. It doesn't have to have, you know, a polished feel. It actually is just authentic and real. And here's the good thing about tequila is it's not just for singers. Now you may have noticed as we've been studying the scriptures and worship and praise, and you've probably seen as our worship team, like we've been putting some space in between songs and some space in the midst of songs really intentionally, not just be like somebody messed up. No, we were actually really intentional about that. Because as we read the scriptures, we see this word tequila. It was a song that was to come out of the overflow of the heart. And so we said, we want to give our singers, our vocalists here at the church, a chance to, in that moment, as they're experiencing God, to sing out of the overflow of their heart, not just something that was prescribed. And so when you see Tyler or Jason up here, and it's not on the screen, what they're doing in that moment is they're doing what David did. They're tequila, an overflow. And I would encourage you, what would that look like for you to embrace this kind of praise? Now, we're probably not going to give you a microphone. We want people to come back next week. But what would it look like when you're driving in your car and you got a song going on and you're just sitting there? I see some people in here. You're just so grateful for the place God has in your life. Maybe you just got married and you're just so grateful. And out of that place of praise and thanks comes this song where you just say, God, I'm so grateful for you. You gave me my heart's desire. I'm so thankful for you. Now, that doesn't make rhyme. That doesn't have to sound good. But what is that? That's an authentic expression of worship. And God loves it. And so what would that look like for you to enter into that kind of praise, to Hila? The third kind shifts gears a little bit. So the first two here are about singing and about our songs. But the next five, they shift gears a little bit. The next one is yada. Everybody say yada. Yada, yada. This word, the root of it is yad, which literally means hand in the Hebrew. Hand, all right? And so this yada is a word that means to express gratitude, to express value, to express worth by extending hands or putting out hands. And so literally, this is yada. So here's show and tell. This is what a yada could look like. Got a big screen TV. Raise the roof, Jesus. Yada. It's expressing who he is. It's giving thanks. And this sounds a little weird, and sometimes like in church, like corporately, like I'm like, I don't know if I can do that. But here's the thing. Like, I know some of y'all love sports. Like, I know it. And so when we watch a good play on TV, like, we don't sit there and say, man, the Volunteers scored for once. Woo! Hey, you won a bowl game. Thank you very much, Nathan. I appreciate that. Everybody, yada! Come on, everybody, yada! Right? Woo! Yeah. So, what do we do when we see Tennessee score or the Virginia Tech score, whoever you like? Who cares? What do we do? Yada! Yes! Woo! Why are we doing that? Now, there's a question. You say, "Man, I can't do that in church." But listen, I know you do it with 100,000 people in your stadium. I know you do it in the quiet of your own home, not so quiet during the game. Why do we do that? Because what we just saw on TV, what we just saw in life, real life, was worth it. We don't do this when we throw an interception. Nope. We do some other things that we have to ask for forgiveness for. But we do it because it's worth it. And you know why people raise their hand in church that are being authentic? You know why? Not for you to see me and think I'm more spiritual. Not for you to say, man, Derek has it all together. No, no, no. You know why it's biblically a good reason to raise your hand in church? Because God is worth it. And in that moment, what am I doing? Thank you, God. Thank you. When I'm singing a song and it reverberates in my soul, thank you. This is our response to God. And it's deeply biblical. Yada. Yada. I remember the first time in college, I was at a gathering called Campus Crusade for Christ, now called CRU. And I was with a couple hundred college students and we were singing one night. And I was not, like, I was the cool, too cool for school freshman. Like, I'm like, I got this, man. Like, I'm got this. And I was raised in a pretty conservative upbringing church-wise. Like, you didn't really raise your hand or, you know, you're kind of crazy if you did that. But in this moment, the presence of God, when I was 18 years old, just came upon me. And in that moment, I was so grateful, even with all the things that I had jacked up, even the struggles that I had, that he would call me his son. That in this moment, in a packed out room, I raised my hand up for the first time in my life, and I literally started crying, not because God was so good, but because I couldn't believe I became one of those people. Literally, that's what happened. I started crying. And it wasn't, hey, look at me. I actually did it in spite of people looking at me. It's because it was the only response that I could give God in that moment. It was the only thing that my heart leapt for. I said, God, you are good. Thank you. Thank you. This is Yada. And it's deeply biblical for us to respond this way. Now the next one is Toda, which is actually connected to Yada. I almost said Yoda. That would be weird. But Toda is connected to Yada because Toda is a similar expression with our hands. So it means to shoot your hand up. It's like this kind of one of these things, right? But the difference between Yoda or Yada and Toda is the expression of the heart. See, Yada, I'm thanking God for who he is. I'm thanking him for what he's done. But Toda is a sacrifice of praise. Toda really is more of, I'm thanking God even when I haven't received what I'm asking him for. This is what David says when he's that battle with the Philistines, and he's getting taken in, and he's been seized by the Philistines. Psalm 56, verse 10, it says, in God, this is David speaking, in God, whose word I praise, halal, we're going to look at that word later, in the Lord, whose word I praise, in God I trust, I shall not be afraid. What can man do to me? Look at verse 12. It says, I must perform my vows to you, O God. I will render thanksgiving to you. So in this moment, David was given a tada, a praise, a thanksgiving, in the midst of a season of unknown, in the midst of a season of questioning what God is doing, in the midst of a season of being in bondage, in the midst of all those things, probably some doubt, some concerns. In the midst of that, it says that David gives a praise, tada. Now, let me just tell you what I used to think. I used to think, like, when I came to church, if I wasn't feeling it, like if I like had some questions and some doubts that week, or I saw somebody who was struggling with some illness and I had prayed for them, I used to come into church and be like, man, I'm struggling, so I'm just gonna lay low, right? Like here was my reasoning. I don't wanna be fake to God. Anybody else ever had that? You're like, I can't even sing today. I'm just gonna be, I feel like I'm faking it, and Christianity is not faking it till you make it. That's not it. And so I would just not enter into real worship because I didn't want to be a fake. It felt pretty good to me. I'm like, that's good. Here's the problem, is that you and I aren't called to respond to God based on our feelings. It's not based on, man, I got God figured out. By the way, none of us do in this room. It's not based on God answered my prayer. No. My response to who God is and what he has done, it's a tada, is even in the most difficult circumstance, even in the moment where I just got a report from the doctor and I'm scared, I'm out of my mind, it's in the midst of I'm praying for my marriage and my wife's not even sitting beside me today. It's in those moments where I give a praise, not because everything's great, but because God is great. And because I'm stepping into something that I don't feel in that moment, but I'm stepping past that and I'm showing not what I'm faking, but I'm actually expressing faith. This is what I found. In those moments, I don't feel it. And I come in and I praise God and I worship him. I'm not faking it. I'm actually expressing a beautiful part of faith. that it's not about me. It's not about my feelings. It's about who he is. And what I found is as I do that, I actually see breakthrough faster than I ever thought possible. And there's been moments, even since moving here, that hard seasons where I've just been down in my basement. That's where I do a lot of my time with the Lord, is in a basement, probably because nobody can see me. And I just remember just pouring my heart out to God and saying, this is not fair. This is something that is hurting me, this person and that person, whatever. And in that moment, I would put on some worship music and I would just press in and I would sing. Not because I felt like it, not because my circumstances were great, but because I was counting on the one who is great. And so maybe for you, you're feeling like, man, I just don't feel it today. That's fine. I get it. A lot of us don't feel it. But ta-da is an expression of praise that's not based on who you are and what you're dealing with. It's in God, right? So ta-da, it's to raise a hand even when I don't feel it in advance. The next one is halal, halal. Now, I'm going to go really fast because we just got a few minutes here. Halal is a fun one. It means to celebrate. It means to boast. It means to literally act like a fool. It's a joy. Like, it's so joyful. And when I think about this, I think about David when the Ark of the Covenant was finally brought back into Israel. And, you know, he didn't just sit there and say, oh, the presence of God is back with our people. Let's just bow our heads. You know what David did? Woo! Come on, somebody get the horn. Let's go. Everybody was scooping and hollering, celebrating, dancing before the Lord. This is what halal, this is what David did, right? And we see that his wife even got so frustrated. He said, babe, listen, I'm not doing that for you. I'm not doing it for the ladies that you're so worried about. I'm doing it for the Lord. Celebration. This word halal is the root word for hallelujah. If you want to go look up a passage, look up Revelation 19. You'll see the word hallelujah. Hallelujah is halal, celebrate, make much of, Jah, J-A-H, which is the Lord. See, I believe that the Lord is restoring some joy in his church, that we don't have to be so stoic and pinned up, that we can actually truly respond to who God is. Listen, I'm telling you, some of us just lack experience and revelation with the Lord. I'm telling you, when I'm praying for somebody or somebody else is praying and they are healed physically, guess what I'm not doing? Golf clap. No, we just had our first Tuesday prayer out there. Somebody came in with a 9 shoulder pain, workers comp, couldn't work, killing them. And as our people prayed, they could actually see his neck and shoulder moving. Incredible. And the guy was like, what's going on? They're like, let's just keep doing it. I don't know. And so after that 9 pain, as he's sitting there, it went to a 0. Guess what we weren't doing? We weren't saying, good job, Jesus. Woo! Yes, come on, Jesus. Right? We respond to who he is. We don't have to be so buttoned up. This is good and it's right and it's biblical. Somebody say, I get excited about that too, Derek. Maybe I'm the only one here. That's all right. I'll dance before the Lord and I'll have him do it worse. Come on now. All right, two more left. If you're following along, the next one is barak, barak, barak. Barak means to bless in adoration, and the physical response is to kneel. And so throughout the Old Testament, you'll see the word praise or worship, and sometimes, like, this is literally what it means. Like, they would praise and worship. If you look at 2 Chronicles chapter 7, the presence of God fills the temple. And it says the people, as they experienced the presence of God, they prostrated themselves on the floor like this in response to God. You know what that was? That's worship. Response to God. And I think sometimes we just need to take a posture of humility. Sometimes we experience God or we see something truthful and we understand. Sometimes we just need to get in our face and say, God, you are worthy. You are worthy. I remember a time in Ohio, Kate and I, we had started watching some sermons online back when that started. And right before we watched the sermon that night, I had prayed a prayer and asked God for a couple of specific things. And then we just randomly picked the sermon, turned it on. And as we're sitting in our chairs, in the first few minutes of that sermon, God literally answered the 3 or 4 things that I had asked in that sermon just minutes before, or in that prayer just a few minutes before. My response wasn't, okay, that's cool, let's keep going. No, we pushed pause, and in our dining room table, or our dining room floor, we literally got down because we recognized the presence of God, that he sees us, that he hears us, and that he wants us to know him. Right? It is good for us, whether it's in your home, man, you get some time with the Lord, and you get before him, and you worship him. It is biblical to get down on your knees, and you say, well, Derek, I can't really do that. I'd have a chair right in my face. I get that, I know. But we do have an aisle. and we do have a front. And once again, I'm not telling you what to do. I'm just telling you there's freedom in this place. We're a house of freedom. And so, man, if you ever get to the point where we're singing a song and you're like, oh my goodness, I just want to respond to God, and you want to just kneel down before him in a posture of humility to honor him, man, that is deeply biblical, and nobody's going to tell you to stop. Barak, to kneel before the Lord. And lastly, it's Shavak. I like that. Everybody say that. Shavak. Shavak. It means to address with a loud tone, to shout, or what some would say is a holy roar. And once again, man, if you watch sports, you know Shavak really well. Like, it was really warm these last couple days, and so I went out with a couple guys, and we hit the golf course. And who loves 70 degrees, by the way, in January? Come on, golfers in the house, right? And I'm on a par three, and it's kind of tight, and I'm, you know, competitive, so I want to win. And so I take this par three and hit it, and it lands about 5 feet from the hole. And in that moment, you know what I did? Woo! Shavak. I also did it to try to intimidate the guys I was with, but that's a different story. But I responded. You know why I responded with a yell? Because I felt like that shot was worthy. Now, if I hit the next one in the sand, like, I'm not screaming and yelling for that. That wasn't worthy. And so on a Sunday, or maybe you're driving down the road in your car, maybe you're spending time with your family, when you gather together and a truth hits you, you're like, oh my goodness. Maybe when somebody reads the scripture and they read 1 John that says that God is faithful and just to forgive you of all your sins, in that moment you say, amen. Yeah, right? What am I doing? I'm responding to who that is. And in the middle of a song, when we sing, man, I'm gonna be in the mountaintop singing, or I'm gonna be in the valley, I'm gonna be dancing, and that reverberates because you've experienced that, you know that, and your response is, woo! I want you to know, man, that's biblical. It's not a hype show. It's not, I'm trying to get attention. No, no, it's actually what people have been doing for centuries, engaging with the Lord. Centuries. And so today, we're not just gonna talk about it. We've got some time that we're gonna sing. Once again, you don't have to do anything. You can just sit there if you want. It's a place of freedom. But today, if you're like, man, I didn't know that was in the Bible. Like, I just saw some weird people, I thought, raising their hand or laying on the floor. Like, I thought that was kind of weird, but oh, wait, now it makes sense. My hope today was just to give you some freedom. So you can't say, I don't even know how to praise. We do know how to respond. The Word of God tells us how to respond. So we're going to enter into some more time of singing and zamaring. Maybe a little tequila, not tequila, tequila. We may yada. Some of us in this room, you need a todah. Don't feel it, and you just want to raise your hands and say, God, you are worthy. Maybe in that moment, you're going to shavak. You're going to say, woo, yes, that truth in that song, yes, that hits me hard. Or maybe today, listen, you got a free pass. You can just sit down. You can sit there and not sing. It's okay. It's okay. We're not prescribing what to do. We're just saying there's freedom. Are y'all good with that? Can we just say freedom out loud? Freedom. Freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? Freedom, freedom. All right, let's stand. I'm going to pray over us. Lord, thank you so much for your truth. Thank you that you are a God that is worthy, that we can't overplay, oversell who you are. Lord, I pray that you would, in our personal lives, that you would free us up to really respond to who you are, that we would live a life aligning with you more and more. Lord, I pray for our church that you would break off the fear of man over me. Oh, Lord, break it off of me first. Lord, break off this fear of somehow I'm going to mess things up. But Lord, may we just come to you with boldness, not because we've done anything, but because your blood speaks volumes, and we come with confidence into your throne room. So Lord, even in this moment, Holy Spirit, would you just give us a revelation of the greatness of God, the worth of God, and that as that revelation of who you are, God, that you are the creator, that you're the sustainer, that all the stars are numbered by you, the hairs on my head are numbered, that you are the beginning and the end, the Alpha, the Omega, that we would see you for who you are, not who we want you to be, but who you are, that in that place, Lord, we would respond to you. So Lord, we say we praise you. We praise you with our whole lives. You are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy. Amen.